According to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, by the way, I'm glad I don't work there. I don't know what they do, but it doesn't sound fun. The United States Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 90% of American homes have one of those in them. And quite frankly, I thought it would be higher, because I've even used a microwave in an ice house while I was ice fishing. But before World War II, there wasn't even an idea for this. You see, during the war, Allied forces gained a tactical advantage by designing the first true radar system. And to develop this first true radar system, they had to improve research into microwaves and the electron tubes that produced them, the magnetrons. So the man's name is Percy Spencer. You can thank him. Percy Spencer was an employee at Raytheon. Raytheon is an aerospace and defense contractor. This is where they developed this system. And one day, inadvertently, Percy Spencer stepped in front of an active radar set, and the chocolate bar in his pocket melted. He couldn't believe it. So he started trying it on other foods. The first food he deliberately used was popcorn, and it popped. He tried it with eggs, and the eggs did then what they do now. They exploded. So on October 8th, 1945, Raytheon applied for a United States patent. They applied for what they called Spencer's microwave cooking process. He discovered it. He discovered that microwaves make water molecules vibrate, which causes friction, which produces heat, which cooks your food. And in 1947, Raytheon made the first microwave ever. It was really big, really heavy, really expensive, right? Like everything first, it's really big, really heavy, really expensive. It took decades for it to become available, because it took decades for it to become affordable. You can buy a microwave now for under 50 bucks. I remember this. My mom and dad remember the first color TV coming into the house. I was 8 years old. I remember our first microwave. It was the darndest thing we ever saw. And we all got close to the glass. And we were amazed. We were amazed at this new way to cook, because it seemed too good to be true. I'm telling you this story because our Lord today taught us the Our Father prayer, which is a whole new way to pray that, when we think about it, is too good to be true. The disciples asked our Lord today in Luke chapter 11, they went up to our Lord, as many people come up to me and ask, how do I pray better? Why did they have to ask him? These apostles were already apostles. They were already men of prayer. But they wanted something that they saw in our Lord. And they asked our Lord how to pray so that our Lord could teach us the Our Father. This is the prayer God taught us, the incarnate God. St. Augustine said, "What is in the Our Father, we should pray for. What is not in the Our Father, we don't have to pray for." St. Cyprian said something beautiful. He said, "When we pray the Our Father, we need to remember that when we pray that prayer, God the Father hears his Son in us, who first prayed it." That's why we pray that before we receive our Lord in the Eucharist. St. Thomas Aquinas said that the Our Father prayer is the summary of the Gospels, the summary of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right there. And he called it the most perfect prayer because of its structure. Praise, petition. This is just like in high school. Before I got the keys to Dad's car, I praised him. This is a pattern. "Dad, you're a great dad. How could I have done any better? You're so handsome. I can see why Mom married you. Oh, by the way, can I have the keys to the car, and can I stay out a little later?" We do the same thing with God. "Your name is great. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. By the way, give me today what I need. Forgive me. Don't lead me into temptation. And deliver me from evil. Deliver me from darkness. Deliver me from despair." Pope Francis said it takes courage. Courage, he said, to pray the Our Father prayer. Because it takes courage to truly believe that we can receive those things we ask for. It's very beautiful. We need to renew our devotion to the Lord's Prayer. And now I'm going to land the plane. Do you know what that means? I'm going to end the homily. A lot of homilies go on too long because it's hard for the priest to land the plane. And I want to say to you personally, I apologize for the times I haven't landed the plane. Because we'll all run out of fuel. I'll run out of fuel to be persuasive. You'll run out of fuel to listen. It's easy to take off. I want you to remember this. That active radar set was in front of Percy Spencer. All he had to do was walk in front of it. The Our Father is right in front of us. All we have to do is pray it. So the next time you're standing in front of your microwave, reheating your coffee, my time is 25 seconds, we all have our time, and we still stare at the glass, don't we? We're not amazed anymore, we're just bored, waiting for it to be done. When you're doing that, pray the Our Father. When you're doing that, you can pray the summary of the gospel. You can pray the most perfect prayer, and God the Father can hear his Son in you. And that seems too good to be true. Amen. Let's stand and profess what we believe.